Welcome everyone. It's a great pleasure for me to introduce you Shenzhen Gu from KITP. And Shenzhen did his PhD at the Tsinghua University and the first postdoc at MIT, working with Xiaogang Wen on several topics like tensor networks for topological order. And he's also author of a very interesting paper with which you have emergent gravitons from a spin system. And today he's talking about fractionalization without lambda levels. Thanks
for the introduction. It's my great pleasure to visit Premier again. And today I'm talking about this kind of relatively old topic, the fractional quantum Hall effect, which was discovered almost 3 decades ago, and but in a completely new systems, so some lattice model even without a lambda level. Okay, so this work is in collaboration with my friend Kai Sun from University of Maryland, and Professor Donna Shen and Dr. Yifei Wang, who mainly doing this numerical calculations by exact diagonalization, and Professor Li Shen and Hosho Kasra, and Shankar Dasama. In the first part, I will introduce what is integer and the fractional quantum Hall effect. Then I will show you some model, lattice model, even without lambda level, we can have integer quantum Hall effect. Then I will introduce this a new class of model, the so-called topological flat band model, and show you there's evidence of a fractional quantum Hall effect even without a lambda level. Finally, there's a summary and outlook. Okay, so let's start from this, what is quantum Hall effect? Maybe we have already learned when we were in middle school. We know that this Hall effect basically because there's Lorentz force, right? So if you apply this current along, let's say, along the x direction, and there's perpendicular magnetic field, and you will induce some voltage on this y direction, and finally, the Lorentz force will kind of equivalent with this force by induced by this voltage, and then we can define this Hall conductance. And usually, this Hall resistivity, which is the voltage divided this current, is a linear function in B magnetic field. Okay, but almost 3 decades ago, people found that a very interesting phenomenon when we consider quantum system for this 2D electron gas, we find many, many different plateaus at a rational filling fraction. So basically some very bigger plateau like this, like integer one, and also some like a bigger one here, like 1/3. So these kind of very strange, and especially they have some like a rational number. So this even kind of not easily to be understood. Okay, so first we want to understand the basic physics about this integer quantum Hall, which actually is very easy and even undergraduate can understood because we can write down this Hamiltonian as in the lambda level with this so-called lambda gauge. So basically, this lambda gauge, we only have gauge potential along x direction. There's no gauge potential along y direction. So basically, this Hamiltonian describes this harmonic oscillator. And this omega c is kind of a cyclotron frequency. And the spectrum is very simple. It just have many labeled by integer, many integer levels. OK. And the underlying wave function have a very nice structure, can be expressed in terms of this complex number in the complex plane. So which have x and y as the coordinates. OK, then to try to understand this fractional quantum Hall effect, Laughlin first proposed this kind of Laughlin wave function, which looks a little bit weird and hard to understand. And formally, you look at this form. Kind of here, integer, we have just an integer number. And a fractional, maybe we just simply raise this to some like some higher power. So what's the meaning of this? So basically, the underlying physics meaning is that we attach flux with the electron. So here you can think about there's each electron carry one fundamental flux quantum, so that when they exchange, you pick up this minus sign. But here, to raise to third power means electron can carry more flux quantum. So the basic picture is that if there's a magnetic field and the electron favor this cyclotron motion, but there's repulsive interactions between them, so they feel very hot and energetically not favor. So they try to cool down. So the method to cool down is that they attach some flux. So each electron just grabs some flux. And then actually, after electron grab these like odd number of flux, just become a boson, so they can condense. So basically, the basic physics of this fractional quantum Hall can be understood in this terms of composite particle condensation. And the vertex in this condensate obviously will carry charge 1/3 of E. And also, you can show there's kind of fractional statistics because each fundamental flux carry like a third this 1/3 of the charge. Okay, my wife, sorry. Okay. Another interesting phenomena in such a kind of quantum Hall effect is that this plateau is very, very robust. So when you add any kind of perturbation, disorder, it's always there to, at this very precise rational number. So that's one of the reasons why it win this Nobel Prize for this measurement. Okay. So the simple reason to understand this topological quantization is that we can start from this Gauss-Bernays theorem, which also we learned when we were in middle school, maybe. It's very simple, you know, because basically the theorem tell you that if you integral the curvature on the Gauss curvature for on some like a surface, it's always quantized. But this quantization for like a 2D surface is very simple, just the number of genus, right? Okay, so the quantum version of such kind of Gauss-Bernays theorem actually is called the Barry phase. So Barry phase is actually kind of some unique topological phase only emerging in a quantum system because according to this adiabatic theorem, if you consider a quantum state evolve in a Hilbert space as a function of some parameter and go back to itself, it should not change. But actually, this is not true. It actually pick up some phase, irreducible phase, independent of how you go into this parameter space. Okay, so mathematically we can describe this phase in such a form called this Barry connection, and you integral over some loop integral. It's a quantized phase and independent of how you choose a loop. And you can show this kind of connection have a meaning of gauge connection because you can apply some local phase transformation on your wave function, right? This kind of in quantum mechanics, the local basis, the phase is not fixed. You can pick up any phase, but here just to give you some like a trivial shift will not affect this phase. Okay, so the such kind of Barry phase also exists in solid physics. But in solid physics, it is slightly a bit complicated because we have this periodic structure. And the simple example is this graphene. Bloch, he first proposed to just use this so-called Bloch wave function. It's very simple just because the crystal momentum is a good quantum number. So we put a crystal momentum here. And then this is called some Bloch function in the fundamental unit cell. Okay, like this graphene, we can by solving this Bloch function, we can find there's two band because in each unit cell there's two atoms, so it's easy to understand why we can have two band. Then we apply this Gauss-Bernays or Barry phase in the solid physics, we can find that it's very similar. So this psi r can be represented in some Fourier transformation multiple this Bloch function. And you can show that a Barry connection actually can also be defined in this way. And the curve of this is a Barry curvature. OK, then it turns out if we integrate out this Barry curvature, it is an integer number. And this number actually is just very simply proportional to this Hall conductance. So yeah, here some very standard solid physics calculation. This basically is the current-current correlation, which is proportional to the Hall conductance. So to this end, we understand why we have integer quantum Hall effect in a lattice system, just because in a lattice system, you still have this very simple quantized integer. Okay, but then we want to go to some more complicated case, because in a lattice system, we just consider this its translation invariant, and there's no disorder. It's like too naive and too simple, because in real experiment material, we do have disorder. Then Laughlin have a very deep understanding why it's still stable. So the famous Laughlin argument is that he considered this ribbon. And in this ribbon, you can go through a flux into this ribbon. OK, then he argued that when you go through a flux into this ribbon, there can be induced a charge from this edge to the other edge, basically transport one edge. So that means the Hall conductance is 1. But how can we understand this fractional case? Actually, it's very similar, because due to his argument about this flux attach, each electron like 3 flux in the 1/3 case. So then you can think about how you attach, you go through 3 flux, then you can transport 1 electron. So that's why you get this fractionalized Hall conductance. And in a formalism, it can be formally formulated in this way. So the meaning of theta 1 and theta 2 here actually is the twist boundary condition, because mathematically, when we talk about we go through flux in this ribbon, you can think about we have a gauge connection from 0 to 2 pi. Actually, it gradually equivalent to go through a flux in this ribbon. Then you can also similarly define the Barry curvature in this twist boundary phase space. But here it's different. This psi is really this many particle wave function. It's different from this Bloch wave function, just some unit cell. So this kind of definition is highly non-trivial, because it's independent of any arbitrary interaction, arbitrary disorder. You always can do this twist boundary condition, and you can define this Barry curvature, and then you get this fractional Hall conductance. So this is kind of a smoking gun. In any system, if you calculate this quantity, if it's gave you some kind of a quantized number, that means it's a quantum Hall state. So that's almost a definition of a fractional quantum Hall state. So then we want to go to some like lattice model by using such kind of new definition. Again, we started from a simple model, which is the just this integer quantum Hall case. So Haldane first proposed this integer quantum Hall effect in a lattice model without magnetic field. So his construction is very simple. So start from like a spinless graphing. So this term is just very simple. Nearest neighbor hopping on the hexagon lattice. But the second term, he introduced some like time reversal symmetry breaking imaginary hopping, so-called with arbitrary phase phi. This is the second nearest neighbor hopping. And you can show that if as long as the phi is non-zero, the Dirac cone just split, so open a finite gap. Then you calculate this chain number in terms of this block function, you find that it's non-trivial. The upper one is like minus 1, and the down one is plus 1. And you can show, actually, it's an integer quantum Hall states. And in solid physics, sometimes usually people also call it kind of anomalous quantum Hall. OK, then we want to ask, can we go to I want to explain more about this topological nature in this very simple model. We try to visualize this integer, because here just a very mathematical and very formal. But in this very simple model, we can actually can visualize in this kind of number. We think about this band model. It's very simple. It's in K space. Again, here we don't consider disorder. So this 2x2 matrix, we can use this Pauli matrix, sigma x, sigma y, sigma z as basis to expand this. But this is just like identity matrix. So this kind of complete basis expand this 2x2 matrix. OK, then this coefficient d here, which is also a function of k, just a look kind of like a vector. You can think about it in a vector defined on this sphere is 2. Then we diagonalize the system. It turns out this dispersion is very simple, just epsilon k plus minus dk. And if we calculate this Chen number, so that we can use the previous formula. First, you can diagonalize Hamiltonian, and you derive this Bloch function nk, this kind of normalized Bloch wave function. And then you can calculate. And it turns out the formalism kind of a little bit interesting in terms of d. This is the normalized d. So in terms of the normalized d, look at this kind of formalism. Actually, maybe very familiar to people doing quantum field theory, because it actually in the continuum limit, it's just this Skirmian number. So in a picture, it's very simple. You have what is a Skirmian? Basically, you have some like a defect in a ferromagnet. So in the center, it's a point up, and the infinite far, it's all just point up. Yeah. So basically, this kind of called a Skirmian number. And mathematically, this is characterized by the map from the two torus, which is our brain zone, to this unit sphere, S2. So it's sometimes also called like pi 2. So it's just an integer number. It's very simple. So this, from here, we know that this Chen number can be arbitrary integer. It's not necessary to be 1, but it can be arbitrary. OK, then we want to understand this fraction quantum Hall effect. Yeah.
Magnetic field, but you have put a phase in the hopping.
Yeah.
So how is that different? I mean, in a way,
it's different because I can explain because this phase kind of this phase is inside this unit cell, so the total flux in the unit cell actually is zero. So you can see this from Hodan's model. It doesn't break translational symmetry. I mean, it doesn't break a crystal translational symmetry.
I think the question was, how do you create it? In fact, Haldane suggested experimentally to put magnetic moments.
Oh, I will explain later. So yeah, this is different. But here, the point is that this model is very different from the Langlois level because the net magnetic field in a unit cell is zero, right? Okay, so next
Can
question
you
is that,
what does that arrow represent exactly? In this Skirmian,
the it's S2. It's kind of you have a S2 sphere, then it's a vector.
Right, but what is it physically? What is this vector coming from?
The vector coming from this is the vector. You just express this 2 by the 2 Hamiltonian in terms of poly basis. Then you have a coefficient.
Yeah.
This is a function of k. Then you have dx, dy, dz. It just looks like a vector, right? S2 vector.
And what are these two things? Two levels of.
A little
bit lost. What is this thing acting as?
Yeah, this is a square lattice. So, not square, 2x2 matrix. So this HK is by some arbitrary 2x2 matrix. But you can always explain on some basis of I and 3 poly matrix, right?
But why do you have 2x2 matrix? Is it because you have a 2x2
matrix? Here I would just want to show you a simple example for this Haldane's model, because this model is have 2 bands, so in K space it's 2x2. I just want to show you how to understand this kind of Chen number in a visualizing picture.
At each K, there are 2 states.
At each K, you have 2 states. Yes.
And you have some way of going from one band to the other.
Yeah, because on the Hanekamp lattice you have AB sublattice, so each unit cell you have 2 states. Okay, then the question is, can we go to this fractional quantum Hall effect? The answer is it's possible if we can quench of the kinetic energy compared to the interaction energy. But in practical, actually, it turns out to be difficult. Why? Because if we want to consider some flat band on the lattice model, we can do the following. This HK is kind of a free Hamiltonian in K space. Then we can diagonalize it. Then we have dispersion lambda K, right? This is kind of our band structure. But we can replace this into some constant. Okay, then we get a flat band Hamiltonian. But turns out, this Hamiltonian, if you do Fourier transformation and go back to real space Hadamard also. And the second, more important, if you calculate this Barry curvature in phase space, it's highly fluctuating in general, and which kind of will kill the fractional quantum Hall effect. Okay, so now how to construct a local model with topological flat band and with almost a flat Barry curvature in this K space. So that kind of question is highly non-trivial. And I want to show you our method, our recipe to solve this problem. So first, let us consider more about this meaning of Chern number. So let us do something even simpler. So we only consider this very specific so-called Dirac model. So this is a specific class of a 2x2 model. So only have sigma x, sigma y, and which is this d vector very simple, just kx and ky. And we assume this mass is some constant. So it's kind of just the physics around the Dirac cone. But we assume there's a very small Dirac mass. And actually, you can show if you do similar calculation, calculate this Skirman number, you show, oh, each Dirac cone actually only contributed like a half Skirman number. And it's plus half or minus half depend on the mass of this Dirac cone. It looks like a strange why we get one half, because suppose this is kind of Skirman, we always get an integer. But here it's consistent, because on any lattice model, we always have like even number of Dirac cones. So when the two Dirac cones have the same Dirac mass, then we get a non-trivial band structure. And when the two Dirac cones have the opposite Dirac mass, we get a trivial one. So that's also why, in general, it's not easy to get this topological non-trivial band, because you can tune some parameter, and in general, the Dirac mass can be different, and you just get a very trivial zero Chern number. You never get some non-trivial topological flat band. Okay, so do we have a much better method? So the way we do this is that we, instead of consider this Dirac touching, we consider quadratic touching. So what's the meaning of the quadratic touching? From this form, like basically the Dirac cone, like S wave like structure, it's isotropic in the K space. But here, kind of some D wave. This is like dx square minus y square. This dxy. Okay, the dispersion is K square. And in a picture, the Dirac cone just like a vertex in K space, but with winding number one. But the quadratic touching actually kind of merged to Dirac cone together. It's winding number two. Okay, so the nice thing is that in a lattice model, we allow this single number for quadratic touching. So then a nice property is that if we have single number of quadratic touching, we open a gap, we always get a topological non-trivial band, right? So there's a condition that actually you can show this single number of quadratic touching is protected by this fourfold of sixfold rotational lattice rotational symmetry. So if you add some small mass, you can already see that it kind of will split into two Dirac cones if you break this rotation symmetry. Okay, so this is an advantage of this quadratic touching. Then we can do, based on such kind of principle, we can do some fine tuning for our lattice model and to see whether we are able to get some like very flat topological non-trivial model. So the model we propose is slightly bit complicated, but actually it's simple. Basically, it contains three bands. So we have two P band, which is Px and Py. We have one D band, dx square minus y square. Okay, so the first term just the D band hopping onto this nearest neighbor. So it's actually very simple and very natural, maybe in some experiment system. And this P band is also simple and natural. We have P band hopping, the nearest neighbor hopping along x direction, also along y direction. But because of the P band, you know, the P band is some asymmetric along x and y direction. So you can think about the P band generally, the hopping constant can be different. Here can be t prime, and along x direction can be t. Okay, then it's similar for the PY band. And here we also allow, in general, some PD mixture. You can start from P band, hop to T D band. Yeah, it's a 2D square lattice. Yeah, you have three band. Okay, but such kind of simple band structure actually it has a quadratic touching. And when you add some term like break time reversal symmetry, for example, you can have this imaginary hopping, on-site hopping from Px to Py, you actually can open a gap. So we started from this quadratic touching and we gradually increase this depth, which break time reversal symmetry, and it shows that it's giving some non-trivial Chern number. Okay, then we gradually increase up to delta 2.8. You find it's really flat. Yeah, it's very, very flat. So by eye, you just think it's completely flat, but actually you still have some curve. Okay, you can see, yeah, it's curved a little bit. So to confirm it's non-trivial, we also put on a cylinder. So on the cylinder, you can show there's this kind of edge mode, right? It's very clear. You always have this protected edge mode. Okay, so we define the flattenance ratio here, which is the band gap over this band width, which is almost close to 20. And then we may imagine we get a very big chance to get a fractional quantum hole because we could have some interactions maybe much smaller than this band gap, but much can be much larger than this band width and push the system to the strongly interacting region. We also plot some diagram that with the generic parameters, so you can tune around some particular choice, and actually you find in a very general region you can have such kind of flat band.
Can I give you a solid state motivation for imagining it because we are not focusing on spin orbit coupling.
Here actually it's not for solid state consideration. Here we start from this optical lattice. I will explain. Why this is relevant. So this model is potentially to be realized in optical lattice. The reason is following. So first, it only involves nearest neighbor hopping because currently there's many experimental group working on this P-band and D-band optical lattice. But this nearest neighbor hopping is very important because in optical lattice, it's very difficult to do this next and next nearest neighbor hopping, right? Longer range hopping is very hard. Okay, but this imaginary term actually is very easy because by hand waving you can say it's a spin orbit coupling. But maybe if we don't want that, there's many different ways. Like you can also locally rotating this trip and induce some angular momentum. And some more exotic way you can consider this anisotropic P band flash bar resonance. There's one group doing this, but there's many ways. So the key here is that any term that break time reversal symmetry will open a gap, get this non-trivial number. So it's very generic. And
the laser?
So the laser form this optical lattice. Yeah.
Right. So you use the laser beams to.
Yeah, laser beam. You can tune this laser beam, then you can get a different hopping parameter.
Spin the answer.
Yeah. Okay, so now we want to first.
This is a very simple question. What do you mean by imaginary hopping? What does it have to do with spin orbit coupling?
Spinning? Yeah, it's just the I means the face is I.
Okay.
Yeah, so the reason spin orbit coupling can generate this is because this in the spin orbit coupling, if we consider spin up, actually this I, this hopping is I, spin down is minus I. So it if you break that time reversal symmetry of the spin orbit coupling, you can generate this. So you can think about you add some magnetic field to break time reversal in the spin orbit coupled system.
So why is this different from the spin-all effect? So why it's not just a usual topological insulator?
How
do you get the fractional?
Here we first we consider we explicitly put this time reversal symmetry breaking term. But the second, it's non-trivial because it's very flat. Yeah, usually topological insulator is not flat at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you explain again why the flatness is the key ingredient to get the fractional?
Yeah, it's a key. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah, I will show you. I will explain later. Okay.
It's because the kinetic energy must be more.
So this interaction energy is very important for fractional. Not important for integer quantum hole. So in this sense, why this usual topological insulator kind of less non-trivial, right? The fractional case is much more.
You want to allow strong many body effects.
Yeah. So we want to push the system in the strong interaction limit. Okay, so we tested this very simple model. This model may be not realistic because it will involve third neighbor hopping, but because it's a two-band model, it will be much easier to manipulate in the numerical. So we start from this two-band, but recently we do three-band and get similar results. So this two-band model is very simple. So this kind of lattice structure is called the checkerboard. So the checkerboard is slightly maybe unfamiliar lattice structure, but it's very usual in many material. It's kind of called a corner-sharing lattice. So basically, you can view this checkerboard lattice as some lattice like you have many tetrahedral. You have one tetrahedral, you have like many hundreds of quantum sharing, then you project it to some plane, then you form this checkerboard lattice. So each checkerboard lattice, it will contain two atoms in per unit cell. So of course, it's a two-band model. And we consider this model the nearest neighbor hopping, which is imaginary, have phase 5. And the next neighbor hopping actually is real, and we call it T prime. And we also have T double prime for the third neighbor. But the nice thing is that in two-band model, everything can be computed analytically. So we can analytically maximize this ratio, flatness ratio, and we find that it's very nice results. This phi is pi over 4, and here kind of 1 over 2 plus 2 square root 2. Okay, so the best ratio we can get is 30. So you already see this is very, very flat. And we check the edge state on the cylinder. It's similar as before. Okay, so next we do some really numerical experiment. We put this model in the ignition diagonalization, and we introduce this nearest neighbor repulsive interaction U, and the next nearest neighbor repulsive interaction V. So this model is for kind of a spinless fermion. OK, so here I briefly plot the phase diagram. So the phase diagram is that in this region, like this, when this U is large, but V is small, we can get a one-third fraction of quantum Hall. But the one-fifth is opposite. Both U and V needed to be very strong. And even can be infinite. It's a very stable one-fifth state. I show you the evidence for this fractional quantum Hall state. So first, we can compute the ground state degeneracy in each k sector. So here, this plot is for any fixed total momentum kx and ky on this 48 lattice system. It's pretty large, but because the filling is low, we can still doing that at fraction one-third. OK, then we fix that like v equal to 0. So basically, we just along this axis. And then we gradually increase U. You see, when U equal to 0, this kind of have lowest energy at 0 momentum, but have finite size gap. Actually, this is a finite size gap, because here we know without any interaction, just a very trivial Fermi liquid. And actually, you have some like dispersion, maybe linear dispersion, so but we have finite size gap. OK, when you increase U, here, don't put a chemical potential. In the ED, we just explicitly put a number of electrons. You can put a chemical potential in general, but here, the
so
feeling.
So you go to the flat band and have fractional feeling.
Yeah, have fractional feeling. Yeah. This means the lowest band, you have like one set of feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the feeling always refer to the lowest band. Okay. Then we gradually increase U, something a mystery happens. You find in some momentum sector, the energy goes down. And finally, U equal to 1, you find a perfect three degeneracies. Mm-hmm. So here, this label kind of, actually, you should imagine it's kind of a two-dimensional label, because we have kx, ky. But here, here, like this group of label is ky equals 0, and then 1. 2, 3, 2, 5. And this group label is kind of kx from 0 to 4, 0 to 4, something like that. And similar things for this one-fifth state. Because for fractional quantum Hall state, there's ground state degeneracy. So to understand that, actually, you can think about when you gradually go through some flux in the ribbon. You can think about you just twist the boundary condition from 0 to 2 pi. Actually, it does not go back to self. They go back to go to some degenerate state. We go to the other sector. Only after 3 repeat, then you go back. That's the degeneracy. So here, 1/5 is similar. Start from like some Fermi liquid, then gradually increase the interactions. You find some like in some k sector, there's energy go down. Finally, you have perfect degeneracies. And we covered those many finite size scaling, here, always constant gap. Okay, so this is a very strong evidence one. But maybe people can argue it's some like ordered state. So then we go to this smoking gun to directly calculate this chain number in twist boundary condition space. So this is like theta 1 and theta 2 is the twist boundary condition along x and y direction. Then we, in this twist boundary condition space, we divided into many, many small mesh, right? So the here is a plotted mesh over the total number. So yeah, to 1 means we repeat 1 periodicity. So like we integral over 0 to 2 pi, 0 to 2 pi, so that goes from 0 to 1. But then we go to the second periodicity, 1 to 2, 2 to 3. After you repeat the 3, you go back to yourself. The state go back to itself. OK, then you can see in the for the fraction quantum Hall state, first, this is kind of this is accumulated curvature kind of very linear. It's kind of constant in the twist phase space. So the curvature is very flat. And the second, you know, when you repeat 3 times, you get this quantized 2 pi. So that means for each state, the core connect is just 1/3. Very precise. And but you randomly pick up some state, you find this curve sometimes jump, and accumulate can be like 6 pi, but sometimes minus 6 pi. So on average, it will just cancel that and nothing left. It's very similar for 1/5. So you repeat 5 times, then you get this 2 pi, and it means each sector you get this Hall connect 1/5.
So
okay,
can I ask a question? So can you go back to the previous one where you saw the degeneracies?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
So when you go to higher U,
yeah,
again they lift up, and so is there what happens at above U equal to 1?
Oh yeah, it's remain the same. So here this U can be go to infinite.
I see.
Yeah.
So once you get the degeneracies, it remains so?
Yeah, it's very, very robust. You can go to infinite.
It's a topological degeneracy.
Yeah, topological degeneracy.
So robust if you put disorder or any symmetry breaking term?
Oh, you can break anything. You can even add disorder. Yeah, we're doing calculation now, but yeah, it's very stable. Yeah.
How do you do these calculations? You just do direct diagonalization?
Yeah, direct diagonalization. Yeah, but if you consider disorder, we can only approach much smaller system size, because here we use the good quantum number k. Yeah, we can approach a relatively larger system.
So you can check that the splitting is exponentially smaller.
This I'm not sure, but here we do not consider this disorder case. So that's why we need to check this chain number.
Right.
But currently we are doing some disorder calculation. Yeah, but that's still ongoing work.
And what's the x variable there? What is n mesh?
Mesh. Yeah, as I explained, so this mesh means we divided this twist boundary condition space into many small meshes. Many, many small pieces. You can consider it's kind of a 2D, it's a porous. Then you just divide it into many small. So each small square just a mesh. Then you integral to 1 means you repeat 1 period. You cover all. Then you go to the second. Yeah. After you repeat 5 times, this state go back to itself. Yeah. That's five-fold degeneracy.
So can you say in more detail, what does theta 1 and theta 2 represent? What does it mean to change theta 1 and theta 2?
Theta 1 and theta 2, as I explained before. So when the electron hopping, you can think about not an NPL. sorry. means on this kind of checkerboard or square lattice. So when the electron hopping, you can consider some boundary phase. So the boundary phase give you the boundary condition, right? If it's 0, it just means periodic. But if it's pi, it just means anti-periodic. So you can consider here there's some boundary phase term for the hopping Hamiltonian. You put some phase, general
by
phase.
Hand.
So you put
by
hand.
Hand. Yeah,
just
you
put
some
hand.
Yeah, so you kind of,
when it comes back around.
Yeah. Kind of you choose different boundary condition to repeat this calculation. Yeah, and then you integration over all the whole phase space. Yeah. Okay, so here something more interesting is that you can see when this U and the V very large for the 1/5 even go to infinite. So here we plot this diagram when U equal to V. So you see this emergent.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting. Stop you again. But so you're saying you put this phase by hand, one for each closed loop and the torus.
Yeah, you
and
kind
then,
of change the Hamiltonian.
And then you turn, you, for each value of the phase, you compute the ground state
of
that system, and you compute the overlaps of those. And this Berry phase,
Berry
curvature integrated over the whole range of values of theta 1 and theta 2.
Exactly.
And if you get that to be a certain number, it tells you something about whether you have fractional.
Yes.
And can you repeat why it tells you that?
So basically, the simply picture is this Laughlin's argument. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you go through a flux in the ribbon, you transport one electron, that means a non-trivial Hawking nucleus. But you can do very mathematical computation. You just directly calculate this current-current correlation. It's exactly this formula. Yeah. So intuitively, you can just use Laughlin's argument.
In fact, the early work by what we referred to, Douglas and company.
Yeah.
They start with formal expression for Kubo formula for conductivity, and then rewrite it, and it becomes a topological object.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a remark.
Yeah.
So just two questions. What is n?
Which
in
n?
This three-dimensional plot, n.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, n is the number of the states, lowest energy states. I keep 20 states. So here I just schematically show you this very robust five-fold degeneracy. Yeah.
And the colors on the left plot, are they sigma or what? Yeah. What are the colors?
Oh, color. This different color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Means one color means you finish one periodicity from 0 to 2 pi, from 0 to 2 pi. Yeah. Yeah, so you need to kind of go through, rather than say you go back to the states itself. Yeah. Okay, then we can.
Sorry, how large are the systems again?
Oh, the system. Yeah, we can like one set, we can do 48, and one fifth can do 60. But
48 what?
48 lattice size, 24 unit cell.
So 48, this is square lattice.
Yeah, it's a square lattice, but it's just because the feeding is very low, you only have one set of feeding, so the total electron number is still small. Yeah, like this 24, I think. Just 8 electron. For this case.
So 48 is the number of sides on the lattice. Is that what you said?
Yeah, number of sides of the lattice. So you have 24 unit cell, you have 8 electron.
But this is a gap phase?
Yeah, it's a gap phase, constant gap. Yeah. So
that's the result.
So we can still kind of do some finite size scaling, although very limited, and 8 electron. But Laughlin only have 3 electron and win the Nobel Prize.
Before you go to bosons, have you checked with some variational wave functions, like Laughlin wave function?
Oh, it can be very
some
different.
Overlap.
Very, very different. Yeah, we did not check the overlap, but my feeling can be very, very different. There's no reason it should be the same, because
then another check will be positive particle. In Laughlin wave function, it's very clear that you will get 1/3 positive particle, charged positive particle.
Yeah.
So is it obvious in your
Here in the quasi particle sector, you can kind of see some quasi particle gap, and you can count in the number is fit. I will show you in the non-abelian case later. Yeah, you can see some very clear quasi-particle.
So you can see signature for fractional charge.
Yeah.
One other question on this, Barry. You have a degenerate ground state, is that right?
Yeah.
So why don't you get a non-abelian Berry phase?
Oh, we can get it. I will show you later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So next we go to this Bosonic case, because the Fermionic case kind of very familiar and already be observed in this 2D electron gas. But the bosonic phase have never been observed, so it might be very interesting if we can realize this model in optical lattice and observe this bosonic fractional quantum Hall phase. So here we did some primary numerical calculation, and here V1 and V2 again is the nearest neighbor repulsion and the next nearest neighbor repulsion, and here we consider this hardcore boson, so means on each lattice can only be 0 boson or 1 boson. And if without any interaction, you already see this robust fractional quantum Hall effect. And then gradually increases next neighbor repulsion and next neighbor repulsion. You see some like we call the super solid phase, but maybe just a solid phase. So here the evidence for this is that we show this phase transition first. We can calculate this this so-called fidelity. So we show some peak, and we also calculate this structure factor in three different phases. They show very different, and the corresponding pattern is like this for SS1 and this for SS2. So two different ordered pattern, and also we calculate this. Structure factor from almost zero increase to some constant, and you can also see the superfluid is not completely die, but maybe die in a similar dynamic limit. Again, we also can see very clear twofold degeneracies and the one half chain number.
But
so all these features support.
If you get this charge density pattern, it's not Laughlin state, because Laughlin state is supposed to be liquid.
No. Here is no pattern. So in this region is no pattern. This pattern is the nearby region. They are already there. It's a phase transition. Yeah. So I show you, in some reading, we can see this CDW pattern because it's the ratio of feeding. It's one half, right? So it's expected that you can have such kind of CDW pattern.
Right. So you are saying there is a region where it's.
Yeah. No such kind of any kind of pattern. It's very, very flat in the structure factor. We can also check the Chen number. It's one half. And similar things also happen for quarter feeding. We check the Chen number and then we trace the boundary condition, and then we find this very robust fourfold degeneracies and carry quarter Chen number. Okay.
So another question. So your Chen number seems to be correlating with the degeneracy of the ground state.
Oh no. Chen number is kind of you can formally define Chen number for each ground state, but just when you twist the boundary condition, the state do not go back to itself. So that's the standard way people understand the fractional quantum Hall. So for integer quantum Hall, if you go one periodicity, it go back to itself. But for fractional, you go three periodicity, it go back to itself. Yeah,
but in your the examples you are giving, it also seems to be correlating with the degeneracy of the ground state. Like, you know, when you got a Chen number of when you got previously a churn number of 1/3,
yeah,
it was the ground state was also threefold degenerate.
Yeah, that's related. Yeah, that's true.
But that was so. My question is that was really not true in the Laughlin case, you know, because the degeneracy of the ground state was it was macroscopically degenerate, and the churn number.
It's similar in the Laughlin state. You twist the one period, you go to the other state. Go three, you go back. So that's the way to define the Chen number. So here it's similar. But this degeneracy do not necessarily to be exact. So here it's exact because I show you some like very regular lattice. If you have irregular lattice, it's not precise, but the Chen number is still the same. Yeah, like this quarter filling, you repeat the four periodicity, then you go back and then you pick up one. Okay, so finally, I want to show you some results for this so-called non-abelian state. So what is the non-abelian state? Because in the fractional quantum Hall case, we discussed this is a kind of abelian state, and the excitation is abelian anion. So the abelian anion is kind of generalization of this boson fermion. You can think about when you exchange two particles, you get a phase twist, e to I theta, but not necessarily to be 2 pi or pi. But here, the non-abelian version is that kind of this quasi-particle contains some internal degree of freedom. You can think about call it a topological spin. And when you exchange them, there's a 2x2 matrix. Do not necessarily suggest a phase. Okay, so here we try to investigate such kind of more exotic state. So the model, again, it's kind of this generalized Haldane model. In Haldane model, we only have nearest neighbor hopping and the next nearest neighbor imagined hopping. So here we add this third neighbor hopping. It's not quite realistic, but recently there are many material can support such a kind of third nearest neighbor hopping. And in certain parameter region, we can find this flatness ratio can be like a 50. So in this model, we introduce some like so-called three hardcore bosons. So the three hardcore boson means on each side, you can have zero boson, one boson, or two boson. This kind of model might be not so realistic, but in general case, you can map this model to some like a spin one spin model. So in that case, it's very possible, and there are many groups discuss optical realization of such kind of model. And again, we consider this on-site interaction because here we can allow two both on-site. So we consider this actual on-site interaction and also this next neighbor interaction. Okay, so then we briefly look at the ground state degeneracies. So in some region, like in the phase diagram in this part, when the interaction is very small, we see some very robust threefold degeneracies. And in the intermediate region, there's only one-fold degeneracy. And in some other region, have two-fold. So the two-fold is more clear because this feeding is one. Means for this model, it's half feeding field, upper field, the whole band. So it's kind of some new equal to one state. And in the Laughlin case, there's some candidate for this new equal to one non-abelian state, the so-called Ising anion state or this Morita state. And here on the left is in this weak interaction region, we do find this threefold degeneracies and each state carry chain number one. So these features support this non-abelian state. And to find more feature, we look at this quasi-particle. We look at this quasi-particle spectrum, as Bascom asked. So we see that if we remove electron in the system, basically we create two quasi hole because each hole carry charge one half. Okay, then we see up to the biggest lattice size we can achieve, we find that kind of there's some so-called spectrum gap. So what's the meaning of the spectrum gap? After this gap, there's something very non-universal and very ugly. But the lower spectrum actually is kind of universal, and we conduct to describe this quasi-particle excitation. So the spectrum gap is very clear, even you consider twisted boundary conditions. So here, like we can start from this ground state sector for some fixed momentum. And we fix this theta 2 to be 0. And we just twist the theta 1, and you can show it's very clear. You know, for some fixed theta, sometimes it's not clear. But when you twist the boundary condition, it's pretty clear. OK, then we start this state counting. So for such kind of non-abelian state, there's a very standard way to do this state counting due to this state can be mapped to some like a St. Torres limit. So in the St. Torres limit, there's a very simple picture to understand this kind of moderate non-abelian state. You can think about the generalized poly principle. You only allow one particle or two particles on each side, but you don't like allow more than two. Okay, so the ground state can have three different patterns. So first is because it's kind of integer feeding, so one on each orbit just have one, right? So that's one possibility. And the other two possibilities that you like some CDW state, you have a 2-0-2-0-2-0-2-0 pattern. And here is another 2-0-2-0 pattern. So in total, we can have three for the ground state degeneracy. Then how to interpret this quasi-particle? So the quasi-particle in this kind of adiabatic limit, you can think about just the kind of domain wall excitation of these CDW state. The allowed quasi-particle excitation like here, you can, after you remove one hole, right? Remove one electron, you create two domain wall. But here you have some different way. You can have in between the domain wall, you can have one, have three, have five, until you have such kind of things. So in total, you can have six for this 12. 24 size, so it's 12 boson. So that's the biggest system size we can approach.
Sorry, why are these three degenerate, and why is it that those special configurations that have all of the ground state? Why can't you mix them? You know, just take two of those and put them.
Yeah, you can mix it. If we do quasi-particle excitation, actually
no, but in the ground state, why is it?
The ground state, you can superposition.
Not superimpose those states. Yeah. But why can't you just take two of those particles and put them side by side? You know, some of them are. Why can't some of the occupation numbers be two? Some of them be one. In your ground state, all the occupation numbers are one,
yeah.
Or they're all two or zero.
So this kind of schematic description of the ground state is not precise, but if you go to the Sinn-Torres limit, you will find such kind of pattern. But actually, it's not a 1D system, it's a 2D system. Mm. So it's just that energetically don't favor the configuration you said. So you can see the threefold ground state degeneracy, if we go to the Sinn-Torres limit, because you can consider your periodic bound condition, so it's a torus. You go to the Sinn-Torres, then you can see it looks like a 1D system.
Yeah.
So the 1D system, the ground state only have the pattern like this.
It just turns out that way.
There's a work by Dun Hai Li many years ago. So this is the simplest way to look at the state, because here we want to count the quasi particle. Yeah. So just the energetic reason. Yeah. Yes, then the quasi particle described by Du Meng Wu of this kind of CDW order. But actually, sometimes we call this root configuration. It's not really means that 1D system. It's just an effective way help you to contain the quasi particle. And then we compare this the total number of state with this picture. It's totally agreement. And here we also show you some very clear evidence for such kind of quantum phase transition. We start from like a threefold degeneracy. There's some level crossing when you increase the interaction and go to some other phase. Yeah, but the intermediate phase we call the bosonic chain state, which have a unique ground state with non-trivial number. So this kind of state, we don't know what it is. So it's still an open question. Okay, so in conclusion, constructed this so-called topological flat-band model based on this quadratic touching principle. And we show convenient numerical evidence for this existence of fraction quantum Hall state, and discuss the possible realization in optical lattice. And finally, we discuss the possibility for non-bending state. And it might be very interesting to investigate the mechanism on such kind of lattice model, why we can have emergent fraction quantum Hall state. Basically, maybe the variational wave function approach can be very natural. And if it can be realized in some solid system, we can claim we can have room temperature fraction, because this gap is much larger. You know, the gap just like a Langmuir level gap in the fractional quantum Hall system. So the gap usually is of order 1 electron volt, so it's like 1,000 Kelvin. So you can think about the temperature scale like 100 bigger than this 2D electron gas. Okay, thank you.
Other questions? So in your flat band, what is the distribution of the beta curvature?
It's completely flat. Yeah, it's very, very
so
flat.
Is it important?
It's very important. As I mentioned, if you just do this flatness trick, and usually it's not flat at all. So it's highly fluctuated.
But does it preclude you from having a fractional model?
If the beta curvature have very large fluctuation, physically means the magnetic field is fluctuating locally. So in that case, we'll kill this fraction.
One question. What is this non-abelian anion? In this case, is it Majorana Fermion or something else?
Yeah, it's Majorana.
So can you see the fusion rule?
Oh, that's numerically very, very hard from this exact organization, because the system size is not big enough. Here, so we barely show the evidence based on this spectrum counting. You assume you have this picture, and then you fit the calculation. So you can see that. Yeah, it's really hard.
Comment is, Laughlin got his Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Not for three particles, because he solved two particle problem, and solved a three particle problem, and found it overlaps with Laughlin's wave function, and he made a beautiful guess for n particle.
Yeah.
Not for three particles. Before Laughlin, people have solved six particle problem.
Oh.
Patrickley and Yoshio Kon. They didn't get Laughlin's contribution was to write down n particle wave function.
Oh, I see. But
he guided him.
Intuition, from this three particle.
Maybe I just wanted to make a limit statement about this. See, this is a very beautiful work by Dung Hai Li and collaborators.
Yeah.
That you can take two-dimensional quantum ball state, and then basically look at narrower and narrower stuff, where the problem becomes very simple, like charge density. And there you can do very simple counting arguments like this, and then conclude if it is not a Abelian abelian.
Yeah.
So very, that's what.
Yeah. So this is the so-called.
Are you talking about that figure there about the ground states? Or are you talking
about? Yeah, but these rings.
These rings, yeah.
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 One-dimensional.
The first three. This is a ground state. So.
So what? Yeah, why are they degenerate? That's what I. Why are those configurations
degenerate?
So
this
but
is called.
If you split one of those pairs.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
Then it's energetic.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you split it, then kind of
you
create a quasi-particle.
The whole and one part put together nearby.
Yeah.
Then you pay an energy.
Yeah.
You, that domain will
dissipate an energy. Yeah, if we apply this generalized poly principle, you only allow one or two particles,
yeah.
And you don't want to them kind of get together, and you consider this translational environment state, you only have three. Right? If you move one to the neighbor, you will cost energy.
Well, but those aren't translation. And the translation invariant was half with twice the translation.
Yeah, this is with twice, but if you just split one, then you completely lost translation.
Well, you could take a superposition.
Yeah, all those things actually is the excitation. Yeah, yeah.
We can discuss
it.
It's really
interesting.
So, I was wondering whether one can extend your model to time reversal symmetric.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Then you get the fractional topology insulator. Yeah.
So I have to try.
Yeah. Some other group tried that kind of generalization is almost true because you just put the two copies together, right?
But still break some. SJET symmetry.
That's okay because in our model we don't allow particular symmetry, spin symmetry. Yeah, you can.
So is there some evidence for fractional topological theory?
Yeah, there's a paper about that. But that paper kind of they just put the two copies together. So yeah, it's not a so interesting case. So more interesting that when you have a strong interaction. You still have the very stable phase, it's more interesting.
More questions? I have a question. So, do you think that one realizes a model in an optical lab, it could be easier to detect the anions in models like this because you have a larger gap or not?
If you can realize it on optical lattice, I think you can create some excitation by coupling with a laser. I think then probably you can get some pattern. Especially maybe you can observe this edge mode or something like that. It's supposed to have Majorana edge mode, right?
In your various models that, I mean, physical realizations of this.
Mm-hmm.
Are these particles always charged? I mean, suppose you wanted to actually measure the Hall conductance. Is it just the same Hall conductance that everyone is always talking about? Is it electrical?
If you can put this charged boson, it's possible. But
if it's not, then how would you detect this fractional Hall resistance?
If it carry charge, just the usual way, just apply some electrodes.
But if it is neutral, like in fold atoms,
yeah.
I think the question is how will you determine what will you measure?
In that case, maybe you need to develop some other method, like the edge. You measure the edge, measure this specific heat or something, or this density profile or something. It's more harder, yeah.
Yeah, you can measure the degeneracy.
It's not so easy, I think.
Because degeneracy alone will not, because even if there is a density wave, there could be degeneracy.
Yeah, so in the first stage,
once
yeah.
Thing is dissolved, but then it helps.
Many checks.
Actually, in the first stage, we hope
it's robust for
the. We hope there just can be some evidence. So that's the first stage what we want to do. So we consider that we put some like a P band and a D band boson, but it will decay because there's also S band, right? Then in this decay, as a function of time, you will hopefully see some plateau. And the fermion is also similar. You put it in a trap, and
in different position, you have different chemical potential, and you have this cake-like structure. So yeah, you will see the density plateau. So that's the first evidence. So after that, we can develop more things to detect.
So your quadratic band touching, it cannot be a trivial band touching, right? It's not like kx squared plus ky squared and minus kx squared plus ky squared. Cannot be that. I mean, you had something more complicated. But can it be just a trivial?
I think you can, because from the chain number argument, if we only have one quadratic touching, when you split it, the chain number is always untrue. As long as you have one.
Yeah. So any kind of quadratic touching.
Yeah. But if you have two, you still have the problem. One you get a plus one, one get a minus one, you cancel. As long as you have one.
So if there are no more questions, let's thank Shenzhen.